We're now by the central column at the entrance to the chapter house. You will have realized as you walk through the vestibule that this is a more enclosed place than the high transept that you have just left. The sound reflects off the vault above and the glass of the tall windows around you.
Above the vestibule is the medieval tracing floor. Here, in the plaster floor, the master mason would draw the templates or patterns for the stone tracery. Most of the marvellous carving in the vestibule and chapter house is out of reach, except for this medieval statue of the Virgin Mary. She is holding the Christ child on her left shoulder. The Virgin's head was replaced in 1902. The original was probably destroyed during the 17th century Commonwealth, when Oliver Cromwell was Lord Protector. Many statues and carvings were damaged during this period. At her feet are a lion and a dragon. This is a reference to Psalm 91. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou tread under thy feet, a symbol of the triumph of good over evil. Run your hands upwards to feel the graceful folds of the Virgin's dress and the cloak she has draped around her.
Your next tactile exploration will be the door of the chapter house. Face the statue and move to the right of the column, where you will feel a mat. Step up the small step and you will find the open wooden door to your right. It has ironwork on the front of it. Switch off now and switch on again when you are by the door.
You are now by one of the two doors into the chapter house. As you can feel, this 13th century wooden door has the original iron strapwork on the front. Follow with your fingers the pattern of scrolls radiating out from the central stem, forming a tree of life design. You can feel the decoration hammered onto the metalwork. Originally, the doors were gilded and painted, and they're still used today as a notice board, as they have been over the centuries to give information about the appointment of new canons. These are priests appointed by the bishop of the diocese to serve on the chapter. Both doors were completed before the end of the 13th century. Move your hands to the other side of the door and you will discover its method of construction. You can feel how this one is made of 7 upright planks with pieces of wood set diagonally, halved together and nailed through the joint. You may like to stay and explore the door for a little longer before moving on.
Next, go into the chapter house and turn right. There is a metal heating grill running all around the edge, so keep heels and canes clear of it. Follow the grating for about 4 paces, then step over it and up 1 step to find a seat set against the wall. These seats are divided from each other by black Purbeck marble columns. Sit down to listen to a description of the chapter house. Switch off now and switch on again when you are sitting in the chapter house. You are now seated in the chapter house, described by Pope Pius II in 1435 as a very brilliant chapel whose glass walls are held together by very slender columns. You will have already realized from the acoustics that the sound is reflecting off the high wooden vault and the very large areas of glass all around.
This remarkable octagonal or 8-sided chapter house was probably built towards the end of the 13th century in the decorated style of Gothic architecture. Above you is a pointed conical roof with no central column to support it. The vaulting under this has a network of ribs leading up a central circular section which is painted in a decorative red and blue pattern. The height up to the top of the vault is 66 feet, or 20.3 metres, while the width across the building is 63 feet, or 19.2 metres. The stained glass in the windows is mainly late 13th to 14th century. Subjects include the early years of Christ and scenes from the life of St. William, St. Paul and St. Catherine. Again, there is much grey with splashes of bright gold and blue. York was never a monastic establishment, and the chapter has always formed the governing body of the Minster. Although there are 44 seats around the walls, the chapter is made up of the dean and 30 canons, and they still meet here. The day-to-day running of the Minster is carried out by an administrative committee who report to the full chapter at their quarterly meetings. The chapter house is now also used for exhibitions and concerts. Over each seat is a canopy, which is embellished with carved capitals and pendants in the form of foliage, animals, and heads. The columns between each seat are made of black Purbeck marble. Listen to one of these columns being tapped, and you'll hear that it is under stress from the load it supports above. Now try it for yourself.
Many years ago, an unknown visitor inscribed on the wall just inside the entrance these words: Ut rosa flows florum, sic est domus ista domorum. The translation from the Latin is, as the rose is the flower of flowers, so is this the house of houses. It is hard to disagree with that description of this brilliant chapel, as Pope Pius called it. Before you leave the chapter house, you might like to walk all around it so that you can gauge its size. Use the edge of the heating grill on the floor as a guide. On your route, you will encounter the wooden scale model of the chapter house roof set on a low table. Exploration of this model will help you to understand its structure. Your next stop is place number 4, the north choir aisle and the choir. Retrace your steps out of the chapter house, remembering the threshold steps and ramp up to transept level. Go across the transept towards the crossing. Just before the crossing, turn left to find the entrance into the north choir aisle. Here you will find open metal gates. Stop by the gate on the right.